We do have some sick ones tonight, and I'm sure we'll be taking them to the throne of grace as well. Tonight, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll consider a few verses there. Tonight, we are going to continue with our studies into the judgment seat of Christ. But I want us, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading at verse 6. And here is the Apostle Paul. And he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and at the time, in the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know, we have spent a great deal of time on the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. And I do believe there is good reason why we should. Permit me to give you a quote by Woodrow Kroll. Brother Kroll, as you may know, is director of Back to the Bible and has been for a number of years. And in advising and talking to Christians, he said this, and it really struck me. He said, start every day at the judgment seat of Christ and work backwards. Take everything you do today, every thought you think, every word you say, take it to the judgment seat of Christ to check out its eternal impact. And he goes on to say this. He says, "Travel life's road with the heavenly bema as a constant evaluator." As a constant evaluator. Well, these are wise words, I believe. You know, dear Christians, the judgment seat should never leave our thinking and our consciousness every day of our lives. I believe this is God's intent. The Lord's disciples understood this truth, especially as Matthew chapter 19 would illustrate to us. And there the Lord told his disciples in that chapter that they would be rewarded 100-fold for following after him. Now, that wasn't the only reason they were to follow after him, but that was one reason that he gave them. And he specifically told them that what part, just part of their reward would be. The Lord said they would sit along with him on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennial kingdom. So our Lord Jesus Christ taught his own while on this earth that future reward awaits them and that should affect our thinking every day. And indeed, it affected the thinking of the 12. But not only this, but the judgment seat of Christ and the matters of reward or loss of reward is dealt with by 4 different writers of the New Testament. And that is excluding the gospel accounts. But the Apostle John, James, the half-brother of our Lord, the Apostle Peter, and the Apostle Paul, these 4 men. And if the book of Hebrews was not written by the Apostle Paul, it would then make five writers of the New Testament who set forth teaching on rewards and the Bema judgment. The teaching of rewards in some form is a prominent part of the New Testament writings. But while all of this is true, the vast majority of true Christians today give little thought to this certain coming judgment in which all Christians of all time will stand. Indeed, it is woven throughout the fabric of the New Testament, from the Gospels to the book of the Revelation. So, yes, I believe it is God's intent that the judgment seat should never leave our thinking and our consciousness every day of our lives. One reason, aside from the Christ-exalting motivation that it provides us, is the great truth that the judgment seat will bring tremendous glory and honor to the risen head of the church. He has taken worthless sinners, and by producing His righteousness through them, will show all the universe what God can do in a poor, weak, frail human being. Dear one, do not mistake the great importance of the coming judgment seat in your own life. This is why we are seeking to consider these things as thoroughly as we can. So, store the thoughts concerning the judgment seat, store these thoughts in your heart every day. And God will use them to change your life and bring honor to Himself. Now, to see just how prominent the judgment seat of Christ should be in our thinking, we need to understand the background of the writing of the book of 2 Timothy here. The Apostle Paul, at the time of this writing, was in the Mamertine prison in Rome, and it would be less than 1 year before he would be executed and beheaded by the Roman Emperor Nero. The Mamertine prison was built about 600 years before Paul's imprisonment there, and it was truly a horrific place. There were two upper cells in that prison, which were only accessed by a hole in the floor through which the prisoner was lowered down through. And under these two cells were a series of underground dungeons underneath the streets of Rome. And there was no natural light from above in that place. The only light came from candles or from oil lamps. And it was terribly wet and cold and damp in that dungeon. What the Apostle Paul endured for his Savior was indeed amazing. So this is the Apostle's circumstances as he wrote these words that we've read tonight to his son in the faith, Timothy. Now, the book of 2 Timothy was the great Apostle's last letter to his beloved churches. And here in the last chapter of that last letter, we discover the intimate thoughts that were on this man of God's mind. In effect, this letter was this great man of God's last will and testament. Now, this should stress to us what this man held to be of great importance in Christians' lives. So he says in verse 7, he says, I have fought, the word is the definite article is there. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul had fought the good fight of faith, and he would to the very end, to the very end. He understood very well that his own life's race would soon be over, as he wrote these words. And what did the apostle look forward to at the end of this great race of life? Well, verse 8 tells us, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The apostle said, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And what is that future day? It is the coming judgment seat of Christ. Now, we have already examined in past studies two other crowns mentioned in the New Testament in relation to the judgment seat. They were the crown of life, spoken of by the Apostle Paul, and the crown of rejoicing, also by Paul. Now, this is the third crown that we will consider. But we must ask again, what was on this man of God's mind shortly before his entrance into heaven? Obviously, it was finishing the race and facing that great judgment seat which we all will face. Now, dear Christian, does this not speak to you? It does not matter whether we are young or whether we are old, as the Apostle Paul was at this time. The pressing matter that was on his mind was to finish well. To finish well. Now, we need to understand, especially those of us who are older here tonight, we need to understand that it is never too late to be used of God and to receive reward at that coming judgment. It is a great mistake in thinking that just because we are old, God will not use us for His glory and for our reward. As a matter of fact, the coming judgment seat should be uppermost in the minds of us older Christians, as it obviously was with the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. Now, this is also a great matter of learning for younger Christians as well. The judgment seat should play a prominent role in your motivations and purposes in life, my dear younger Christians. Your schooling, your job ambitions, your goals. You should be asking yourself how you could use these things for the glory of God. Do you just want a career, or do you want a career that God can use you in? Now, what I'm really talking about is how do you view a career? A job. What is your attitude towards it? God can use the factory worker just as easily as the engineer. He can use the accountant just as easily as he can the nurse, you see? The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. But that is not what he will be known for in heaven, is it? Let us all, both young and old, have eternal perspectives. The judgment seat of Christ was on the apostle's mind at the end of his life. Should it not be on ours? Now, we need to understand what Paul's thinking was in verse 8. And we've just talked about Paul's desire to finish his personal race with the judgment seat in view. And he makes reference to verse 8. And there in verse 8, he makes reference to that term, that day. That is the day of the Bema judgment. And we've also considered the circumstances of this writing. Paul was at the very end of his life. But it wasn't Paul's imminent and soon arriving death that motivated his thoughts concerning this crown of righteousness of which he spoke in verse 8. What motivated his thoughts was the coming of the Lord for his saints at the rapture and the soon coming judgment seat that would follow. The Lord's appearing and the crown of righteousness are connected. Do you see that? And of course, the judgment seat is involved in all of this because that is where Christ's rewards will be given to members of his body. Even though Paul knew he was to die soon, as verse 6 told us, the time of my departure is at hand, he said. The time of my departure is at hand. But nevertheless, Paul still lived his life with the Lord's coming in view. It was not his imminent death, but instead, it was a coming of the Lord. And this crown that Paul mentioned is called a crown of righteousness. And we need to carefully understand the connection between this righteousness and the Lord's coming. What is the connection there? Well, now, the apostle had already said that he had fought the good fight and that he had finished his course. Now, it wasn't in his own ability that he had fought the fight. I think we understand this. But he was ever on God's side. And God was ever on his side. Now, dear Christians, in fighting the good fight, we have to remember we need to be on God's side. Now, what this means is we must draw near to Him in faith and dependence on Him. And this means that we must be a good soldier of Christ by enduring the hardships and the trials of life. Paul spoke about this in chapter 2 of this very same book. We should ever draw closer and closer to our Lord. And then, you see, I will be able to fight the good fight, just as Paul did. And God will ever be on my side, just as He was on the Apostle Paul's side. But as I said, there is a connection between this righteousness spoken of concerning this particular crown and the Lord's coming. The Scriptures clearly teach, they teach us that the Lord's coming for His own could occur at any time. Now, how should that affect me? How should that affect me? Well, the Scriptures make that clear as well. It should motivate me to right living. It should motivate me to righteousness. That is why this reward is called the crown of righteousness. The soon coming of our Lord should have a sanctifying influence on me, whether I am young or whether I'm old. The thought here in verse 8 is that the righteous judge is coming. He's coming. And I, as his child, will stand before that righteous judge. And because he could come at any time, that truth should affect the way I live my Christian life. And furthermore, if it does affect my life, then indeed I will receive a reward called the crown of righteousness. And this crown will bring great glory to Christ in that future day. Because as Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 would tell us, we will cast that crown at our Savior's feet. Now, let me add this. Many Christians, I believe, do not really have a good sense about what constitutes looking for the Lord's coming. Now, you have seen Christians, and I have as well, who are constantly going to prophecy conferences, who are very much very absorbed with future prophetic events, even to the point of being out of balance in their life, who spend a great deal of their time seeking to connect every daily event in the world with the Lord's coming. They are constantly following the latest prophecy guru who's come on the scene. But is this what the Apostle Paul is speaking of when he says, "But unto all them also that love is appearing"? No, it is not. Being taken up constantly with the rapture and running around to the latest prophecy conference and reading the latest popular prophetical books is not what the Apostle Paul meant by loving his appearing. Understand that this crown, this reward, is for those Christians who permit the soon coming of our Lord to affect the way they live their lives. The Apostle Paul called it a crown of righteousness. And righteousness is what should be produced in our lives as we anticipate the soon coming of our Lord. This is quite clear from verse 7, you see, which leads in to verse 8. He says, "I have fought the good fight," verse 7. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And this is what that crown of righteousness is about: fighting the good fight and finishing well in anticipation and expectancy of the Lord's coming. So, dear Christians, our Savior, He's coming. He's coming. I hope you believe that. The judgment seat is coming. And a crown of righteousness can await us there. Dear older Christians, are you endeavoring to finish well? Am I conscious of the coming judgment seat in my heart, in my thinking, in my attitude of daily life? It's never too late to bring glory to our God. This was certainly the Apostle Paul's attitude of heart. It is quite true that this man, Paul, his greatest letters to the churches were written toward the end of his life, the very end, while he was imprisoned. God will indeed use us at the end of our lives if we are but willing. Who knows what glory to God and what reward can be gained in a short time? Only God does. You younger Christians here tonight, are you anticipating the coming of our Lord and His judgment seat? Are you making plans as to how God could use you in the future? Is the judgment seat in your thinking, younger ones? Well, you know, all of us, young and old, need to understand the Lord can return at any time. And then our work, our labor, will be over. There will be no more time to glorify our God in this life. This crown spoken of in 2 Timothy should motivate us all to a right heart attitude, to a right godly walk, to a spirit-controlled desire to glorify our Lord while there is still time to do so. Indeed, is not our time together tonight in intercessory prayer a matter of fighting that good fight of faith until He comes? I do believe it is. I do believe it is. So let all of us lay up our treasures in heaven and not on this earth. And then we will have commendation and praise at that day. And we will find our lot with that man of God, the Apostle Paul. And we will receive our reward from our Lord, that righteous judge. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, for this great man that You raised up off a dirty road outside of Damascus. O God, a dreadful sinner, a murderer of Thine own people. And yet, You changed his heart by the blood of Christ. You changed him from a vile sinner into a man that brought Thee great glory and honor. Dear God, You know we are vile sinners. And yet for many of us, You have raised us up by the blood of Christ as well. Dear God, we do pray tonight for these dear saints and for myself, that we would have a consciousness, a overriding desire to consider the judgment seat every day in our thoughts, in our words, and in our heart. Oh God, we do know that we will stand shortly before Thee in that day. We pray that You could say to each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.